This is Daf Lamed Aleph. Good Chodesh, everyone. We got to the last two lines of Lamed Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Amar Le Abai Le Rav Yosef. So there's a bit of a gears here. We'll see Rashi and Tosfos about who this question is being posed to. We saw yesterday, Avig Machlokes Ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda, about Ben Zoma thought that the tefillah, the first tefillah of the day, was a Chiv Deraisa. Rabbi Yehuda felt is only a Din Derabanan. Perhaps he'll jog his memory to remember an old tumah he once had. Rabbanan were in agreement to Rabbi Yehuda that was also a din derabanan, but they felt that only Mitzvah requires this, but other people are more careful. So the Gemara now asks, by Rav Yosef, the Rabbi Yehuda, and others don't have this gear, so the Rabbi Yehuda, damar srach tefillah, or others say the question is to Ben Zoma, we'll see that discussion in a second. This tefillah of the day, zu chotet, going into Laman Aleph now, zu chotet, oh, ain't a chotet. Is it subject to the halachas of chatzitza? Normally we know when a person goes to the mikvah, there can't be any chatzitza, so does this first tevilah of the day require the halachas of chatzitza, or no? It's simply a zecher ba'amah, it doesn't require any type of chatzitza. So Rashi writes on top here of Laman Aleph, chotet to eino chotet l'Rabbi Yehuda, damar b'pnei srach tevilah ba'almahi. Rabbi Yehuda, it wasn't a real serious tevilah, but pasalei, Chatzitza, Keshar Tefilah, they still make this like a serious tefillah, even though the reason of it wasn't a real tefillah, but maybe they make this like a real takana and modeled after the a real tefillah. Odilma came into Eina Ba Ela Lehas Kiro Alatuma Yeshana, since the whole purpose is simply to jog the memory, Lola Tarba, but it wasn't to be Matar the person, he ba lo pasibe chatzitza, chatzitza will not disqualify. Look over to Tosus on the top there. Tosus writes, Chotez Eina Chotez, Perish Rashi, Dilu Rabbi Yehuda, Kamibarile. The Kashali, Dim Kain Havale Lamemar Behedia Rabbi Yehuda. It should say explicitly in the Gemara, this was posed to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we had a Girsa that did actually write Rabbi Yehuda, so unclear what the Girsas were, but apparently Tosus did not have the Girsa of Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara. So he felt it was not only asked toward Rabbi Yehuda, Ella, near the Bain the Benzoma, Bain the Rabbi Yehuda, the question's being asked. Ubetrila Shutovel, Kishenu Balavod, Ella Likanes, Bia Rekanas, De Bahamo de Benzoma, Dilahavi Ella Dirabanan, Shemayavot. So now Tosus adds a chiddush here. We had a discussion yesterday with Ben Zoma, that first feel of the day, was that when you're coming to do the Avoda, like what the Mishnah said? Rashid Lod Labdafkil Avoda, even for Knisa Ba'alma, Ben Zoma required a tevilah. So Tosus argues, Tosus says, no, Ben Zoma only required a tevilah if you're coming to do the Avoda. That, there's no question, a chatzitza would be a problem. But even Ben Zoma would agree, if you're entering in just simply a Knisa, Beli Avoda, even Ben Zoma would require a tevilah midirabanan. So in that tevilah midirabanan of Ben Zoma, Tosfos says that was also the question, would it require the halachas of chatzitza or not? So to Rabbi Yehuda, that's certainly the question being asked here, but the question is it also being asked to Ben Zoma, meaning does Ben Zoma hold the tevilah to go into the base of Migdash, Beli Avoda, is that a chiv deraisa like Rashi holds, or it's a chiv midirabanan only, according to Tosfos? Either way, what's the answer? Are the halachas of chatzitza applicable or not? Answers the Gemara, top line of Laman Aleph, Amar Leh, Kol Tikkun Rabbanan, Kein Deraisa Tikkun. Any establishment, any rabbinic establishment is modeled after a Din Deraisa, so just like a Din Deraisa, the lachas of Chatzitza are applicable, so too on a level of Midirbanan. So whether it's Ben Zoma, whether it's Behuda, they do require the lachas of Chatzitza. Gemara says now two lines down, Amar Leh, Abayler of Yosef, Bia, Bimiktas, Shema Bia, Olo, if a person partially enters in, he puts part of his body inside the base of Mikdash, is there a requirement tevilah, Rashi says, Shema Bia, Le'inan tevilah zu? Do they need that tevilah that we're describing, the first tevilah of the day? Does it require one for only partially entering the base of Mikdash? V'tzarech, says Rashi, tzarech litbol im bol hachnis echad mevar v'lazara, even if you're putting in one limb, does that require a tevilah? So the Gemara answered, Amalei bahonos yochichu, the bahonos, the thumbs of the mitzvah, will prove and will answer the question, Shein bia miktas, it's only a partial entry into the base of Mikdash, the whole body of the mitzvah is not coming in, only his hands are, yet Tanya, mitzvah tovel, the omeid b'shar nikna. He has to do a tevila first, needs to go to the mikvah first, even before putting in his limbs, and before putting his bahonos, so we see that miktas bia, in fact, is shema bia. So Gemara then says further, asks the question, Ibailu. Mao Shiyase Sakin Arucha Vyishcha. Is a person allowed to stand normally? The din is the behema must be in the base of Migdash to Shechtet, of the carbon. If it's an Ola, it needs to be in the Tzafon, in the northern part. If it's a Shlamim, it could be anywhere in the base of Migdash. But does the individual have to be standing in the base of Migdash? Could he stand outside? If he has a sword, let's say, and able to reach the behema while standing outside, would that be permissible? Or does the individual himself, the Kohen or the Tzar, does he need to stand inside the base of Migdash too in order to accomplish the Shechita? So Gemara asks, again, Ibailu, Mao Shayase Sakin Arucha Vyishcha. Tibai le Benzoma. Tibai le Rabbanan. This is a question posed both to Benzoma and to Rabbanan. Because again, he did not go to the mikvah. So is this a problem for either one? The Pligel led Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan, who argued Rabbi Yehuda from yesterday's daf, they're the ones who argued that said a Metzora does require a tefillah, but not a shor called them. So what's the question? Tibai le Benzoma. Ad kan lo mechai Benzoma ela legavai. Benzoma only required a tefillah if you're going to actually enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Aval lebrai, if you're standing outside, lo, he did not require a tefillah. So this instance, as long as no body parts going in, he's a very long sword, he doesn't need a tefillah. Oh, duma asu lem shuche, or maybe even Benzoma, he's concerned that maybe the animal being inside might draw the individual inside, and maybe there should be a tefillah as a safeguard. And further, Tibai le Rabbanan, the Pligi Aleh de Rabbi Yehuda, we also could ask the question to the Rabbanan, the ones who argued in Rabbi Yehuda on yesterday's daf, Ad kan lo kami Rabbanan hasam de lo kavid avoda. The reason why Rabbanan did not require that Shar Ko'adam have to go to the mikvah when they go to the Beis HaMikdash, because they're not doing avoda, it was just a person who entered into the Beis HaMikdash, there is no need for a tevila. Aval hacha the ka'avid avoda, here, where the individual is doing an avoda, the avoda shchita, so maybe he's going to be drawn inside, maybe lo, maybe there would not be a heter, and he would require going to the mikvah. Odimo lo shna, perhaps there's no difference, even though one case is inside, no avoda, one case is outside, yes avoda, either way, unless you're inside with an avoda, you do not require a tevila. So it's a question both to Benzoma and to Rabbanan of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara does not have an answer, the Gemara answers as a teiku, we don't know. So look over at Tosos Dibur Maschil Odilma Asilam Shuche, that the Gemara was had a tzad that Benzoma would require a tevila even though the guy is standing outside, lest he be drawn inside to the animal inside the base of Migdash. So Tosos asks Hod Amar Reish Perik Ko Ashochd in the beginning of Maseches Chulin that Beis Mebeis Reish Perik Ko Psulin the Gzvachim Lamed Beis did Tmeim B'Mukdashim L'Chachilu Lo Yishchatu B'Sakin Arucha. That one who's Tameh should not shech the carbon even with a long sword, even though he could stand outside and he could reach inside with a long sword, Shema Yigu Babasar, maybe he's going to touch the carbon and be Metameh. So how come the Gemara only is concerned with being Metameh the Basar, V'lo Kamar Taima Dilma Asulam Shuche? Why is that concerned that the Tameh person comes inside the base of Mikdash, just like the Gemara here is concerned that the untoveled person, if you will enter the base of Mikdash? So the Gemara says, "V'yafogav the hacha." Even though here it's mesafkilei igazrinan demaslam shuchei. Although here, Gemara is not saying definitively that he's going to be drawn inside. It's just raising a suffix. Maybe he won't be drawn inside, and maybe the Gemara over there in Zvachim assumes that a person won't be drawn inside, and maybe it's consistent. So the Gemara says, "Hani mili batar." That's by a tahor person, where we're not so concerned. Okay, if he walks inside the base of English, what's the big deal? He's tahor. Aval batame, one who's tame, dika kares ikla mechash trei. We should be more concerned. So why is the Gemara by Zvachim only concerned that the tame person touches the animal? They should be more concerned he might enter into the Beis HaMikdash, asulam shuchei, like the Gemara in Yuma. So Tosfos answers v'yesh lomar adar, but it's the opposite svar actually. Hanhi anosenes, that's the very reason. Meaning Hasam over there, cave in the tamehu, zar trei. He'll be more careful of lo oil. He knows he's tameh. He's going to be super careful. He does not cross over the line. So we're actually comfortable with him doing the shechita. Had not been for the concern of him touching the animal. About tower, this case in the Gemara Numa, where he's completely tower, he's not so concerned. Okay, he steps inside the base of Mikdash. What's the big deal? He's tower. Ikel mechash tvei. There's more room of concern, and therefore we have to be concerned. Asulam shuchei, and maybe we should not let him shecht it with a long knife. So Gemara now go back inside, halfway down the Amud, the two dots. Yeah.
Right. Wouldn't that be, in theory, for sure not okay if you're standing outside?
No, I think for Benzoma it required a knisa plus avoda. If you look at the Lashon of the Mishnah, Daf Lamed, just for a second, he writes that ain adam nichnas lazara laavoda. You need a combination of knisa plus avoda. Yeah, exactly. So then the Gemara says, halfway down the Amud here, the two dots, chamesh tevilos v'asar kedushin tovel. We learn the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has a total of 5 tefillahs and 10 kiddushim, which each changing of the clothing of Big Day Lavan to Big Day Zav, and Big Day Zav to Big Day Lavan, he needs to go to the mikvah once in between, that's 5 times he changes, and there's a washing of hands before and after he goes to the mikvah. So that's a total of 5 and 10. So Tanya Rabban, the Brayis, says, Chamesh tefillos v'asar kiddushim tovel Kohen Gadol, All of them were on top of the base parva we saw yesterday. With the exception of the first one, that was in a chol area because he can't enter the kodesh until he goes to the mikvah. So that first one must be in the chol, which was situated agabe shar maim, the gate of the maim, which is the gate they would actually go to down the hill. There was a spring. They draw water from nisach maim and walk through the shar maim. So on top of that shar maim was where the mikvah of the chol was, the first one of the day. And it was adjacent to the lishchas of the parhejin where the kohen gadol would stay all week. So then the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, point. Before you actually invite it, look at Tosis for a second. Tosis asks, V'chulan b'kodesh b'gag beis ha-parva. All of them were in a kodesh, all of them were in a kodesh mikvah. That was on top of the rooftop of the beis parva. The Temerli asks Tosos, V'ha gagin v'alios lo niskatshu. If you remember from the Maseches Pesachim, there's a kedusha only exists on the ground floor. But if there's a second floor or there's a rooftop, there's no kedusha. So how could you have a kodesh mikvah on the rooftop of a beis parva? So Tosfos answers one line here. V'yesh lomar degag bayis beis haparva hayashava lekarka azara. So you know the har bayis is a mountain. So the beis parva was gets lower than the azara. So the rooftop of the beis parva was actually even with the azara. So it was even though it was a rooftop relative to the beis parva itself, but since it was equal to the ground of the azara, it actually would have kedusha. And he goes on to prove this point. Gag and Baalias were no lo niskatshu if it was above the ground level of the Azara. But if it was the same level as the Azara, so then that actually would be Kodesh, and it's not a Stira. And again, we're not going through the whole Tosfos, but he brings some proofs for this concept. So then the Gemara says, after establishing that this Beis HaParva was where the Mikvah was, so Abaye points out, Amar Abaye, that Shema Mina, we could deduce from this Gemara, Ayin Itam Gavoa Mikarka Azar. Ayin Itam was the spring that they used the water. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says Ayin Itam Mimena Ba Amas Hamayim Lebeis HaTfilas Shar Hamayim Shel Choma. That was where the spring, it flowed down to the Shar Mayim, which was on top of the wall. Lefi Inan HaMikros Nirli Shumayin Mea Niftoach Hamur B'Sefer Yeshua. It's referring to a particular spring that's mentioned in Sefer Yeshua. Either way, that spring had to flow, you know, it only flows down, it doesn't flow up. So we have to assume the spring was higher up than the Shar Hamayim was. So Gemara points out now, Shema Mina, you learn that the Ayin Itam Gavoa Mikarka Azara Esrim Ushlosh Meos. Amos, rather. It has to be 23 Amos above the ground level. Why? The Tana Mishnah says, Kol Psachim Shayusham Govan Esim Amah. Every gate of the Beis Hamikdash was 20 Amos high. The Rachban Eser Amos was 10 Amos wide. Chutz Mishel Ulam, with the exception of Ulam, not our point. Our concern right now is that the gate has to be 20 Amos high. Now, Shar Mayim is 20 Amos high, that means. On top of that was where the mikvah was. So now the mikvah also takes up some space. So how tall is the mikvah? So Gemara says, V'tanya, V'rachatz b'sar b'mayim, a person needs to immerse himself in the water entirely, b'mei mikvah, kol b'saro, his entire body must be immersed in the mikvah, so shekol, kol b'sar b'mayim, mayim shekol gufa olaben, water that the entire body could fit in. Kamahein, how much water do you need to fit in a person's entire body? So Gemara makes a drasha, makes a calculation, ama al ama, b'rom shalosh amos, has to be ama by ama in terms of width and length, and the height is 3 amos high. V'shir ha'chachamim may mikvah arbam sa'. And the chacham figure out that's a total of 40 sa'. So now what we have here is of the shar mayim is 20 amos high, and the mikvah is another 3 amos high as well. So 23 amos, the ayin itam has to flow, has to be at least 23 amos above the karka in order to get its way to the shar mayim, the mikvah on top. That's what the Gemara concludes. We're going to come to the Tosfos in a second. Let's just finish the Gemara. We'll come back to Tosfos in a second. So the Gemara says, wait a second. V'ha ika ama tikra of ama maziva. But on top of the gate, isn't it the top of the gate, like the holding up the bridge on top of it, and that which is holding up the mikvah? So doesn't that also cover up some measurements as well? We're just talking about the 20 amos of the entranceway and the 3 amos of the mikvah. But there's got to be a few amos in between, you know, on top of the gate and holding up the mikvah. So how come that's not part of the calculation? The Gemara says that the sharm, the Beis HaMikdash, Kevan Deshishininu, they're made of marble, Bimashu Avalu. Marble's very strong. You can take a very, you know, small slat of the marble in order to hold up the mikvah, and therefore, since it's a very small amount, you don't need to calculate that. So Gemara says, V'ha'ika ha'ich mashu, but still calculate, it should be 23 point whatever it is. Gemara says, kevan de havi amasa, since it does not amount to a full amah, lo chashilu, it wasn't part of the calculation. But in actuality, it was 23 point something amos, was the how high the ayin itam was in order to get the water down to the top of the shar mayim for the mikvah on top. So go back to Amud Aleph just for a second here, where the Tosfos asks a question about the calculation of the three amos high mikvah. He asks, ayin itam, gavo mekarka azara, chav gimla amos. Asks Tosfos, etemoli, minolim de base tefillah haisa gavoa shalosh amos. Who said that the mikvah had to be three amos high? Duma lo haisa gavoa, ela ama, maybe it's only ama high, v'orcho shalosh amos. Maybe it was wide, it was long three amos, in which way the kohen haya mashkiv atzmo b'socho. He could lie down, like a kiddie pool. Who said it has to be deep? Maybe it's flat, where he lies down. That would still accomplish the same volume necessary. Or inami alternatively, lo haisa gavoa, ela shei amos. Maybe it was two amos high, but kohen gadol yoshiv atol. Maybe he'd sit down and crouch inside. Who said he needs to stand up tall? So it doesn't have to be necessarily 23 amos high. So the answer is Tosfos v'yesh lomar lo ad mistama koma shahayu yicholun lahakil alav mishum chulsha de kohen gadol hayu osim. We did whatever we could on Yom Kippur day itself. We don't want to make the kohen gadol that exhausted. He's exhausted enough. He's running around. He's shachting. He's doing this and doing that. Let's try to make it easier as much as we can. So lying down, crouching down would be more difficult than just simply immersing and standing up and then coming right up. That was the easiest way for the Kohen Gadol, and that's why we assume it's three amos high. So back to Laman Alpha and Beis, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. Parsu Sadin Shabutz. So when the Kohen Gadol would initially come into the Beis Hamikdash, he was wearing Bigdei Chol, his street clothing. They put a white sheet in front of him, and then he changed into his Bigdei Zav. So Maisha Shabutz, why from Butz, why white clothing? Kedama Rav Kana, Kedei Sheyakir Shavodas Hayom BeBigdei Boats. In a later Mishnah, Rav Kana comments that when he changes from Bigdei Zav to Bigdei Lavan, they put this boats in front of him to remind him that the avod of the Beis Hamikdash in Yom Kippur, he wears this butz clothing, the special four articles of clothing made of that white Hachanami. Here as well, Sheyakir Shavodas Hayom BeBigdei Boats. Here as well, we want to tell him that the avod of Yom Kippur, when you wear white clothing. So fine, that's the Gemara. So Tosa asks a question. I'll say this outside first, then we'll look at it inside. Tosa says, how come Rav Kana's comment is only on the later Mishnah, not on the first Mishnah? The first Mishnah we saw yesterday says that we had to put a white cloth in front of him to remind him that the Avoda is the white clothing. The Mishnah is telling us this also later on, the same thing. We put a white boat in front of him to remind him the Avoda is white clothing. So why is Rav Kana's comment only on that Mishnah? Why was it not on the very first Mishnah? So that's Tosus' question. So look inside Dibur Maskel Kedama Rav Kana, Kidei Sheyakir, the Kohen Gadol, Shavodas, Hayom, Shabbutz. The Kaman, Gavi Hevilo Bigdei Lavan, when they bring them Bigdei Lavan, after he changes the way it works is, we'll learn more about this. He wears Bigdei Zav the first part of the day, then he wears Bigdei Lavan. And then Bigdei Zav, then Bigdei Lavan, then Bigdei Zav. Three times Bigdei Zav, and two Bigdei Lavans in between. So when he changes for the first time from Bigdei Zav to Bigdei Lavan, that's where Rav Kana makes his comment. L'kaman gavi heviu lo bigdei lavan, when they bring the bigdei lavan, so that's when they made the Rav Kana's initial comment. Tema, ma'ishna damra lemilsa la'seifa v'la reisha. Why was Rav Kana's statement comment on the later Mishnah, not on the original Mishnah? V'nir li, da reisha lo chashash l'omra. The first Mishnah, it wasn't needed to say. It was an obvious point. The pshita de tzar chakera. Shelo yitav yubash kol chameh shmona begadam kederach shu oseh koyimos hashanah. That the first time of the day, the Kohen Gadol is used to wearing a certain clothing. We need to have a reminder, the first moment of the day, that was obvious, that was the purpose of the butz. Kishu poshe bigdei chol, shulovish kol chashmona begadam. Lechach parse bigdei butz. Therefore, we have to put the white cloth in front of him, kadei sheyakish hayom einol lovosh bigdei butz, and bigdei zav, b'fnei asman. You have to have the clothing separate, there's bigdei zav, bigdei lavan. That was a very obvious point. Rav Kana did not need to make his comment there. About the say for the later Mishnah, Shu Poshe Bigdei Zav, when he's taking off the Bigdei Zav. V'yesha Lubosh Bigadim Achem, he needs to wear it. Sakadai Der Chamina, Dil Havit Tzar Chakera. One would think maybe there he doesn't need a hacker, because he already knows, Devadei Lo Asi Limite, he's not going to make a mistake. Kamash Malan, even there he needs to be reminded, every time he changes, he needs to be reminded again, and that's why you need to put the Sadin in between every changing of the clothing. And then one other answer tells us, it says, V'yod, Takedat Dechamina, I would have thought, Kevin the Kfar Pirsu Pam Achas, once they ready, spread it one time in the morning, it's enough. Why have to do it a second time? Rav Kana says, nonetheless, we do it each time to make sure he does not make a mistake. So back inside the Gemara, now, Laman Alpha Mabez, the Mishnah tells us, Pashat, he would take off his clothing, the Yard V'Tavel, he would go to the Mikvah, the Olav and Isabek, he'd go up and he'd dry himself off. So the way that is actually interesting, Rambam, the Rambam writes, Nistabek sounds like you just dry off, that's fine. For the Rambam, it seems like there's a chiyuv to dry off. Why is there a chiyuv to dry off? Because the Mishnah Melech points out there will be a chatzitza. If there's any droplets of water, it's going to be a chatzitza between his body and the begadim. So therefore, it's not that he can dry himself off. He must dry himself off, so that should not be any chatzitzas. Now, the Swarm asks a question on the Mishnah Melech. The Gemara tells him, Psachim, the Birka Yosef, the Chida asks, the Gemara says it was a very big shvach for the Kohanim to walk around in the blood. The blood was overflowing in the base of Mikdash. You remember from the Gemara Psachim? So that's not a chatzitza. So how come the water in the body is a chatzitza, but stepping in the blood is not a chatzitza? You have to step directly on the ground, otherwise it's a chatzitza. So he answers, because by a davar lach, that's not a chatzitza, only a davar yavish. A davar lach, stepping in blood is not a chatzitza. If you were to step on a chair, that's a chatzitza, but in blood it's okay. So if davar lach is not a chatzitza by stepping, so why is davar lach a chatzitza on the body, asks against the Mishnah Melech? So the answer is two different teams. The truth is, the water in the body in this topic is not because of chatzitza. That's not a chatzitza. But there's another din that the basar, that the begadim must be al bisaros, says the pasuk, must be directly on the basar. So even though it's not a chatzitza, it's still not directly on the basar because of the water, and for that reason there's a requirement for this topic to dry off the begadim. There's actually a mice, I forget which Rebbe it was, but once a Rebbe, when he was a young boy, he went to the mikvah, and he started to dry himself off. So Chassid said, you can't dry off the water because you have to let the water get in your body and stay in your skin. You can't dry it off. So he said, I'll explain to you when I leave the mikvah. When he left the mikvah, he explained to the Chassid, he said, listen, I've got a mesorah from Aaron HaKohen that you're supposed to dry it off. He didn't tell him there was a Mishnah here in Maseches Yuma, but the Mishnah says that you're supposed to dry off. There's no inyan to keep the water in your body. You're supposed to dafka to dry it off in the Bayom HaKippur. So the Mishnah says now further, Hevi'u lo big day zav, they brought him the big day zav, v'lavash v'kidash yadav v'raglav, he would get dressed with the big day zav, and then he'd wash his hands for the very first time. Hevi'u lo, as a tamid, they bring the carbon tamid, kartzo, lashon of shchita, we'll see in the Gemara in tomorrow's daf, kartzo, he'd shech the animal, u'merik acher, shchita al yadav, and then someone else would complete, merak means to finish off, he would pass off someone else to complete the shchita after him. We'll see why that's not a problem of two people doing a shchita, that's going to be tomorrow's daf, I believe, and someone else finishes on his behalf. And then Kiblas Adam, the Kohen Gadol must catch the blood. It's a very tricky thing. He shechs quickly. Some other Kohen picks up the knife and finishes it, while the Kohen Gadol himself got to switch his hand and pick up the kli and start catching the blood. It's a very, very hard avoda. So Shchita Yado, Kiblas Adam, he's Mekabo the blood. Vizarko, he sprinkles the blood on the Mizbeach. He then is Nichnas Lahaktir Ketoros Shashachar. He goes ahead and brings the Ketoros of the morning. Now just keep in mind, every time he does an avoda, that's not unique to Yom Kippur. An avoda that takes place every single day, like the Talmud and the Ketores, he wears big day zav. That's a regular avoda. When he does avodas Yom Kippur, he switches to big day lavan. So right now he's doing the regular avodas of the day. So it's big day zav. He does shchita, he does zrika, he does haktar of the Ketores shachar, ulehetiv his aneris. He begins to clean out the menorah inside the base of Mikdash, inside the heichal. Lachiv is a rosh, and then he goes out, he's makiv the rosh of the Talmud, v'sayivarm, the various limbs, v'chavitim, there's a minchas chavitim that's brought every single day, v'sayayin, he pours the nisach hayayin up near the ramp of the base of the Mizbeach, then the Ketar Shal Shachar, ha'isa kreva, bein dam, le'ivarm, the Ketar of the morning is brought in between the sprinkling of the blood and the evarm. In other words, after he sprinkles the blood of the Talmud, he does a Ketaris, and then he goes back to bring the evarm of the Talmud. That's in the Shachris. In Shabbein Arbayim, the Bein Evarm L'Nesachim. However, the Ketaris in the evening, first he's makriv the evarm of the carbon Talmud, and then he does a Ketaris, and then he finishes the Nesachim. So in a bit of a different order. And then the Gemara says, "Im haya kohen gadol zake, no istinis, if he's old, or he's very particular about temperature, mechamin lo chamin, they would have to warm up the mikvah. It's very cold, so they have to warm it up. How would they warm it up? Matilin l'toch atonin k'dei shetafig tinaso, they'd pour hot water inside the cold water to warm it up a bit and take out the freeze. And the Gemara is going to explain how that works exactly. This is Yom Kippur. Why is that a violation of a bishul of some sort? So that the Gemara will address as well, I believe, tomorrow. So that's the mission. So the Gemara now says, Amru rabbanan kamei d'rapapa. This mission is not like Rabbi Meir, because di Rabbi Meir, kevan damar trei kedusha alavisha avilu hachanami laved trei kedusha alavisha. So what's going on here? We haven't seen Rabbi Meir shita just yet. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that every time you wear big day zav or big day lavan, you need to wash your hands twice. So look at Rashi to explain this a little bit. It's hard to really appreciate because we haven't seen this just yet. We'll see it later on. But look at Rashi. Rashi dilo Rabbi Meir. Our Mishnah says he wears the puts big day zav and washes his hand once. So dilo Rabbi Meir, depalig b'masnisin b'tefila shniya. On the second tefila, we're going to see that Rabbi Meir argues adirabanan. The rabbanan hold shayu maktimim kiddush l'pshita. They hold that when he changes from big day zav to big day lavan, before he removes the big day zav, he washes his hands. Then they remove big day zav goes to the mikvah, wears Bigdei Lavan, and then washes hands a second time. So one washing of hands for Rabbanan is for the pshita before the removing of clothing, and one is for the levisha of the wearing of the new clothing. That's Rabbanan pshita. However, the mayor argues, he holds, v'hu hiktim pshita l'kiddush. So he's makdim the kiddush to the pshita to the kiddush. He holds, rather, that you first remove clothing, and then you wash your hands according to Rabbi Meir, then you go to the mikvah, then you wash your hands a second time. So for Rabbi Meir, conceptually comes out here, both kiddushim are going to go in the levisha. So again, Rabban hold, where he's wearing Bigdei Zav first. He washes hands, and then he removes the clothing. Rabbi Meir holds, no, you first remove clothing, and then you wash your hands. So the washing of hands, then you go to the mikvah, and wash hands a second time. It sounds like the kiddush adayim twice is all going on the upcoming levisha. So according to Rabbi Meir, in this Mishnah, you should really be washing hands twice. It should be Pashit, it should be washing hands, and then Taval, and then Kiddush Yad Raglav a second time. Just look at, we'll continue Rashi, hopefully that will become clear. The Tzan, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Meir Omer, you're first Pashat, and then you're Vakidus. And Shmaina Numinai, we can learn from Rabbi Meir Shita, the Sri Lay, he holds, the Shnei Kiddush and Shehutra Chakasav, Bein Begad Lebegad, the two washings of hands, Kiddush Lekaman, we're going to learn, Tavayu, both them, conceptually, Mishim Levishas Begadim, HaMishchaf and Tachas Vishamu. They're coming to prepare for the upcoming clothing he's about to wear. However, the Kamri Masisin Lav Kavasat Tzan, our Mishnah here, is not like Rabbi Meir. Because the Rabbi Meir, Betfila Vishona, for the very first Tfila, Nami Nibai Trei Kedusha, you should require two washing of hands, the big day covered the Shubal Lilvosh. So that's the understanding. Okay, hopefully that's clear. It's a little bit confusing if you haven't seen the Mishnah yet, but hopefully that was good enough. So Gemara now says, so one more time. Amr Rabbanan Kamid, their Papa Hadil Rabbi Meir, Di Kre Meir, Kevin Damar Trei Kedusha Alvisha, he holds that every time you wear new clothing, you need to wash hands twice. Avilu Hachanami, here as well, the Mishnah should say, Lave Trei Kedusha Alvisha. So Amalur Rapapa says, Bein the Rabbanan, Bein the Rabbi Meir, Chara Pshita, the Big Day Kodesh, the Chara Levisha. Conceptually, even Rabbi Meir agrees that one of the washings is going on the Pshita, one of them is going on the Levisha. The whole debate is, although you're washing hands for the Pshita, do you do Kiddush Yadav before the Pshita, or do you Kiddush Yadav after the Pshita? But conceptually, it's both on the Pshita. And since in our Mishnah, the Pshita here is the Big Day Chol, you're moving the Big Day Chol, you don't have to wash hands on the removing of the Big Day Chol. That's why even Rabbi Meir would agree in this Mishnah, there should not be an extra washing of the hands in the beginning. So Gemara explains this. Again, Bein the Rabbanan, Bein the Rabbi Meir, Chad HaPshita, the Big Day Kodesh, the Chad Alavisha, V'hacha B'ha, Kimifli. They're arguing about the following, how to understand the Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk, Ufashat, V'rachat, V'lavash, you remove the clothing, you go to the mikvah, or wash your hands rather, and you wear the clothing. So what does that mean? Remeir Savar, Makish Pshita Lavisha. You're connecting, there's a hekesh between the Pshita of clothing and the Lavisha of clothing. Ma Lavisha, Lovesh V'acharkach Mekadesh, wearing clothing, you first do the Maisa, and then you wash the hand, Af Pshita, you first do the Maisa of Poshet, V'acharkach Mekadesh. Again, conceptually, the Kiddush Yadav is on the Pshita. But he says, you do the Maisa Pshita, and then wash hands, like you do the Maisa Levisha, and then you wash the hands. Rabban agreed that it's a Hekesh, but they learn the Hekesh differently. Rabban Savri Makish Pshita Levisha. I agree, you're Makish, the removing of clothing to the wearing of clothing. However, his understanding is, Ma Levisha Kishu Lovush Mekadesh, when he's dressed, is when he washes the hands. Pshita Sotu, when having the Kiddush Yadayim on the removing of clothing, you have to still be Kishu Lovush, when you're still wearing the clothing, Mekadesh, and then you take off the clothing. So it's about the Maisa or the Tatsa. Right, Rameir talks about the Maisa Levisha, the Maisa Pshita, and Chacham will talk about being Lovush, being dressed. That's, again, some way perhaps to understand this. So then the Gemara says, okay. So that's why Rabbi Meir would agree there's no washing of hands here because you're removing the Big Day Chol. So it comes along, Amr Le Rabbanan Le Rapapa. Umi Matzis Amr Sachi. Could you really suggest this, that Rabbi Meir does not require two washing of hands for the initial tefillah of the day? But we have a very clear brisa that says, Parsu Sadan Shabutz, they'd separate that cloth, that sheet of white, Bein Olavein Am, between the Kohen Gadol and the nation, Upashet, the Yarad, the Tavol, Olavein Estabik, he removed the clothing, go to the mikvah, and dry himself off. Hevila Bigdei Zav, they bring the gold clothing, V'lavash, V'kidash Yadav Raglav, then he washes hands afterwards. That's all Chachamim. You only wash after wearing Bigdei Zav. Comes along Rabbi Meir, Omer, Pashat, V'kidash yadav raglav, you remove clothing, you remove the big dechol, you wash your hand, yard v'tavol, all of it is tavol, you come up and dry, if you love big dechol, lavash, she wears it, and wash the second time, kiddush yadav raglav, and this b'raisa is talking about the first tefillah of the day, and yet we still see Rabbi Meir requires two kiddushim, so amar lo, itanya tana, because the b'raisa is a b'raisa, okay, so inachanami, so our mishnah here is not like Rabbi Meir, because he would have required a separate kiddush yadav raglav for the first tefillah of the day. Gemara says, okay, so now Bishma, this makes sense. The Rebbe Meir, Haynu Mishkachas La Asara, we find 10 Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim all day. Because why? Because every tefillah, he requires two. The first one of the day requires two, the second one requires two, and 5 times 2 is 10. However, according to Rabbanan, who only required one in the morning, not two in the morning, the Rabbanan Tisha was only 9. Because the first tefillah day is only one, the next one is two, and then two and two and two. That gives only a total of 9. Where's the 10th Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim according to the Rabbanan? So Gemara says, Amru lach Rabbanan. Rabbanan respond back, Kiddusha Basra, the last Basra, there's an extra Kiddusha Daim at the end of the day. It goes 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, and 1, that last one. What's the last one? Kiddush Basra. Kipasha Big Day Kodesh. When he removes the Big Day Kodesh for the final time of the day, at the end of Yom Kippur, he's lavash Big Day Chol. He wears the Big Day Chol of the Hasim, and then he does a final Kiddusha Daim Raglaim according to Rabbanan. So let's quickly recap. We start off with the Gemara talking about whether or not this tevila midir banan, whether it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Zoma, it's subject to chatitas or not chatitas, as the Gemara concluded, it does have the halachas of chatita, kain deraisa tikkun. We asked the question whether mixes bia is mixed shma bia. We concluded that it is shma bia based on the Torah, who needs to put his hands in, needs to go to the mikveh first. We discussed whether a person standing outside who has a long knife, whether he has to do a tevila or not. The Gemara says, take it, we weren't sure. And then we spoke at the 5 tefillahs and the 10 kiddushim that was all on top of the base parva, except for the first one, which was in chol, which was on top of the shar hamayim. We discussed the height of the shar hamayim must be 23 amos high, because 20 amos is each gate, and 3 amos was the mikvah, based on the various shirim. So it must be the ayin itam was above 23 amos to flow down to the shar hamayim. And then we discussed that the reason why you have the white sadan to remind the Kohen Gadol that the avodah of Yom HaKippurim is done wearing the white begadim. We discussed the mishnah that the Kohen Gadol would do the shechita. He'd give it to Kohen to complete the shechita. He'd do the Kabbalah. He'd do all the different avodas. And then the Gemara said that our mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir because he would have required two kiddush in the morning. Gemara said maybe it is like Rabbi Meir. Gemara concluded that it is not Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir does in fact require two kiddushim in the morning, even the first tefillah. And where do you find the 10th kiddush Yadayim Raglayim for Rabbanan? That's at the end of the day, after he finally wears the big day chol, the Rabbanan hole, that's when you do the final kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Everybody have a wonderful day and a good chodesh.